Hey everybody, NFT fans, welcome back to the NFTC podcast. I'm your host, Eugene, aka Crypto MC. You know, I love to speak to ladies, especially for influential crypto ladies and all that. And today I'm having Maria Stankevich. She is the CBDO of Exmo Cryptocurrency Exchange. You know, this cryptocurrency, it's very, very famous cryptocurrency. Maria, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Eugenia. Thanks for having me.
Our goal today is, of course, to discuss NFT, the crazy NFT mess we've been observing the last year, for example. But let's start me with your personal story. I'm ashamed. I don't know your personal story. How did you get into the blockchain space?
Well, I've been with the company for more than 4 years at the moment already. So I've been in crypto for 4 years and a half, I guess. So I was working for the big electricity holding, and my former boss was engaged in one of the cryptocurrency projects. It was called Arbidex. And he asked me to help them simply with marketing and PR, because at that moment I was head of communications. So I helped them, and I didn't know what cryptocurrency is, and I was afraid that, you know, I will not succeed. But he said, like, you know, you know how the power plant works, so you definitely will, you know, get together with cryptocurrency. So yeah, I started working for him, and then I moved to Exmo Crypto Exchange for 4 years, like 4 years ago. So yeah, now I'm with them.
Great, fascinating story, starting with marketing plans and then crypto. Yeah. Okay. How did you first get your first exposure with NFTs? Were the CryptoKitties, or maybe earlier or after that? And how do you explain exactly what the hell is NFT, especially for non-crypto person?
Yeah, that's a very good question. First of all, like, I was really late to the party. I can't say that I was really engaged with CryptoKitties, and, you know, I'm really shameful of that. But so my first exposure with NFT, my first, you know, meeting with NFT was, it started from digital art, exactly. So what is NFT? Like, my mom asked me recently, because it was all over the news. So NFT is non-fungible token. What is non-fungible? Basically, it stands for something that can't be replaced with anything. So for example, fungible tokens are our money. So you can swap a 10 pound note for 2 5-pound notes, and that will be like the same money. You can't do this with NFT. So it's non-fungible. Your plane ticket, for example, is also a non-fungible token. So it's issued by your name, under your name, so you can't really give it to another person, so he can't or she can't fly with it. So that's also a non-fungible token. So I started engaging with NFTs recently. So it was like my first, I just bought some NFT art in OpenSea network. So, and I got fascinated. But prior to that, what is really interesting is that my PhD thesis was about the influence of social media on the daily life, and one of the chapters there were about how the digital art and how the basically any science or any digital or not only digital art can be you know, distributed many times, and you can't really get the author from there. So the copyright problem, and it's not only in art, it's also in their science, in their like massive libraries of student works, and this is like a biggest problem. So I was actually researching this topic. So NFTs are solving the greatest problem of science, also not only art, the copyright problem. Now, even with digital art, because, you know, if you write a text in the internet, there is no chance that this text will be belonging to you, or the person who will be just copying it will know that this text actually belongs to you or this art. So, you know, NFTs is a great way to maintain the copyrights.
That's a great case. We should discuss it further in details. Thank you for this topic. But that's awesome that you've mentioned digital art space, that you started in digital art space on NFT Realm, because I want to ask you, why, beyond the thoughts, why did we have NFT hype in digital art space in 2020, 2021? And was it similar or maybe different compared with the ICO hype in 2017?
So in my opinion, it's just completely different. So first of all, when the hype was 2017, when ICO boomed, so what did we have there? We had no projects, no roadmaps, just some scammers who wanted to get some money. And, you know, Bitcoin boomed. So people were really, you know, they were there to invest some money into these scam projects. Now the cryptosphere is completely different. Now it's partly regulated. There is, you know, there are a lot of different spheres in crypto. So it's DeFi, for example, or, you know, NFT, or, you know, different kind of blockchains. And, you know, for example, at the moment, we passed, you know, 3 or 4 years, but we developed technology in many, many ways, blockchain technology. So it's completely different. And, you know, even with the regulation, of course, you know, every year, I start every presentation on the stage that I say, you know, this year is going to be the year of crypto regulation, and nothing happens. Well, you know, still something happening. For example, you know, different countries are, you know, step by step are introducing some laws, you know, even tax laws, you know, that's also a start. So it's completely different. Speaking about the NFTs itself, you know, a lot of people, they're saying, like, why do this art cost so much? Why do this artworks, they're insanely crazy? But do we ask ourselves, why does art really cost this much? For example, do we ask ourselves, for example, like a few weeks ago, I was at Christie's. Christie's is an auction house in London. So we were there like a few weeks before the actual auction. So we were wandering there and we saw the prices. And well, I have a lot of questions. Why this, you know, draft of the painting costs, for example, I don't know, $500 million. I don't have the question. I don't have the answer to this question. So the same with NFTs. It's really hard to assess digital art. And it's really hard to assess if there is, you know, if there are many people who want to buy it. You know, the price is usually just the market, market demand and the offer. So it's when the demand and the offer, they meet, so we have the price. So we can't really say that, you know, it's unfair, for example, or it's crazy. People want to buy NFTs for this price, then it's fair.
Awesome. Another great thing that you've mentioned, regulation, and I have a question about regulation. It sounds like, how do you see the legal issues which have arisen with the growth of NFT segment and seem not to be solved yet? And another point of the question, do you maybe feel or have any thoughts, are the governments attempting to create the specific regulatory frameworks for NFT specifically, apart from the other classes of virtual assets? Give us your vision.
You know, that's a fantastic question. First of all, you know, we are really at an early stage with the crypto regulation, all in all, like, you know, we are really at an early stage. With NFTs, there is a very big problem. So there is a problem of the money laundering. So basically, what can I do? I can draw a painting, you know, like donkey or a dog or a cat, like, you know, three lines, whatever, and I can sell it for $3 billion, for example. Who says that this is an unfair price? Like I just said, you know, like Picasso paintings or drafts of Picasso paintings, they cost this much. So there is a really big problem of the anti-money laundering processes and procedures. So you have to establish, you have to introduce some laws that will prevent people, you know, from doing this criminal stuff. Because, you know, in crypto at the moment, for example, in the UK, AML procedures and AML processes, they are inevitable at the moment on the market. So we can't really imagine the market without it, because, you know, all the exchanges, they must comply with all the rules that, for example, FCA or in the US SEC introduced to us. So with NFTs, it's still a very gray area. And I don't have the answer to the question, like, how should it be regulated? But it definitely should be, because it's a loop where criminals can do their money laundering. That's for sure.
Well, great answer. I love it. So the NFT segment is quite young. It counts a couple of years, starting with CryptoKitties. How would you describe the main problems, pains, diseases, or challenges for the segment for NFT market participants?
So first of all, it's definitely the gas fees for Ethereum. That's not precisely the NFTs problem, but you know that's impossible to buy a painting and pay, I don't know, the same price as the painting costs for just, you know, just sending the money. That's just a nightmare. And that's what was happening 3-4 months ago. Now it's better, slightly better, but still. So that's the first problem, not really NFTs. Second of all, you know, now we are, you know, the offers, there's so many offers. So basically you're a little, you can't really define what is good and what is better and what is. So basically we have the sea of the NFTs, we have different websites, but we can't really navigate in them. So that's a real, like, you know, for the beginners or for newbies, it's really hard to navigate in them. And basically what we also face at the moment, you know, you had this question about ICOs, and I think this is what is similar. So we still have some uneducated public who wants to buy some NFTs and who want to invest in NFTs, and they don't really know what to buy. So they do some investments. And for example, when this spending, it doesn't even, you know, surge, it just goes down in price or stays the same. So they start to complain in cryptosphere and crypto market, and they're saying that everything is scam, and but they're just uneducated, that they have lack of knowledge in crypto. So this is the biggest problem, I guess, because I read a lot of forums, including Reddit, for example, and people there are complaining, like, how, you know, how people are scamming, how these artists are scamming, you know, ordinary people. But here I want to say that, you know, cryptocurrency is the high risk investment, and that's always on your, you know, on your shoulders. You must think by yourself. You of course you can read forums, you can read news letters, you can read some websites, but you must think for yourself what is better. If you know, if you understand, you can invest. If you don't know or don't understand, that's never easy money. So NFTs are never easy money.
Yeah, the great answer from the CBDF, cryptocurrency. Okay. Yeah. So considering the use cases, nowadays we are having digital art, we are having gaming in the metaverse. That's another part of the story. I want to ask you about that. You've mentioned the copyrights. What are the possible range of possible use cases of NFT in the future? How do you visualize that?
So yeah, you've already, you know, mentioned CryptoKitties. I won't be mentioning them, like gaming and some gaming industry. So we've already discussed digital art. So at the moment, NFTs are used in decentralized finance. For example, like Uniswap, they use NFT for liquidity pools. For example, LP positions. Solve uses NFT to distribute tokens for various projects, for example, among the community. So DeFi is definitely a use case for NFTs. That's very important. You know, another use case, what I fancy, for example. So basically, as we discussed, NFTs are non-fungible tokens. What is our identity, like our digital identity? That's also sort of non-fungible token, because, you know, you can't really copy me, I can't really copy you. We have, you know, different eyes, we have, you know, fingerprints, and that's also a digital identity. We partly already use it in our passports when we, for example, do the fingerprints or, you know, different kind of biological non-fungible cases. But so what I think that a really good use case for NFT can be is our digital identity. So we can vote with NFT tokens. So, you know, like, there is a big problem, you know, that better than me, you are from Belarus, so and I'm also from Belarus, so we know that voting schemes and voting forgeries are a thing now. So, you know, you can't really forge a vote, you can't really replace your vote with someone else. if you have a non-fungible token that's in the blockchain. You can't replace something that's in the blockchain. And I think that's like the future for NFTs. I think that they're starting implementing it. I read some projects in the US. They're already doing something like that, but of course not completely, but I think that's the future. I also read about the use case, very, very nice use case for non-fungible tokens is collecting. So a lot of people, they are collecting wine, they're collecting some, you know, some antique. So, you know, it's really hard to transport, for example, some wine collection because it needs to be stored at a certain temperature in a certain, you know, like capacity and so on. So you basically just sell NFT token and, you know, it shows that the collection belongs to another person. So, which is fantastic. So, because, you know, wine collectors, they don't really buy wine just to drink because, you know, basically after 20 years, it's impossible to drink. So that's just, you know, that's just to be shown that I'm a wine collector. So that's a fantastic way to have and to sell and buy wine collections without actually moving the wine collections, which is fantastic. Same as, you know, like with the books or with, you know, there are a lot of questions in terms of why people are actually buying digital art, why they're like, why do they want to possess something that you can't, for example, touch? But, you know, books are bought to be laid down and shown to the public, for example, like on the coffee table. So we don't really at the moment, like new generation, not me, but new generation don't buy magazines, for example, or books just to read it. They basically buy it to be bought and to be shown. So the same with NFT art and NFT tokens and collections. People sometimes they don't care about the actual object. They just want to show it that it is them who bought it. Yeah,
definitely we should send the greetings to our France and Belarus, and especially in Vitebsk. France and Belarus.
Yeah, that's my native town. Yeah.
So, Maria, is that correct to say that NFTs have become the driver, the factor of a so-called mass adoption, which we're praying for, of crypto to the ordinary people who never looked even in this space, blockchain space?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been speaking to one of my favorite artists, and she's in Moscow. She's very famous. And she also is doing a project on NFTs. And I think like she didn't know a thing about crypto or blockchain before that. And now she found a way to sell and to protect the digital art this way. So absolutely, that's mass adoption. And that, you know, actually, it works in both ways because, as I said, like some uneducated people are starting to scream that crypto is scam because they just lose their money because they don't think when they invest or they don't understand it. And they just think that it's really easy money, which is not. So, yeah. But on the other hand, of course, you know, all the internet, Financial Times, Reuters, different kind of media, they all wrote some articles on NFTs, you know, some museums and some auction houses like Christie's or Hermitage in St. Petersburg, they're starting to adopt this technology, which is fantastic. You know, museums, they're very conservative and it's fantastic that they're, you know, trying to adopt and to adjust to these new technologies.
Yeah, you know, recently I talked to guys from Binance. You might know that they created the whole ecosystem about NFTs, Binance NFT, Binance Smart Chain, and so on and so forth. They are making great marketing company on the CIS and so on and so forth. I wonder, does Exmo specifically deal with NFT? I didn't hear about that. May you say something?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we don't at the moment because we are really busy with different kind of technical features. We unfortunately we are smaller than Binance, which gives us different advantages also, for example, in terms of the regulation and different kind of, you know, obedience of law. But unfortunately, in terms of the technical maintenance and technical support, we are not that fast, which I'm really sorry about that, because NFTs is a great topic, but we are definitely supporting and we are definitely considering different NFTs to be listed on our exchange, which is, I guess, great. But and we are also, of course, we are also an active participant of the discussion of the development of this sphere.
Right. If XMO customers will ask you, Maria, please suggest to us the first baby steps. We don't know what is NFT, but we are so impressed with your interview. So we want to start. What first baby step we should do towards NFT in practice and theory?
Yeah, first of all, you need to decide why do you want to know about NFTs? What do you want to do? Do you want to invest? Do you want to study? Do you want to just get better in cryptosphere? Do you want to educate yourself? So this is like, you know, this, you know, you should start any investing in crypto from this perspective. What do I want to do? Do I want to make some money, or, you know, do I want to be do I want to have some digital art in possession, which is completely different stories. So if, for example, if you want to invest, that's really hard if you don't understand anything about NFTs. So I'd recommend you to watch as many videos as you can on YouTube, find some great videos, find some great ideas, and of course search. But it's really hard to predict if you are not, well, basically, even if you are an expert in crypto space, it's really hard to predict. And even, you know, if we have the example with traditional art, like I mentioned, I was a priestess and we had an expert in art with us, who is my friend. And I was asking her, like, why Picasso is so, for example, now so happening. And she said, basically, that they didn't know even that, like, last year. So it's really hard even for them to predict the traditional art, which will be happening next year. So let alone say about digital art. So if you want just to have something in possession, I'd recommend you to start with something small. There are different resources that are where NFTs are displayed. So go there, search for some nice NFT digital art. You can actually see the prices there. So bid in the auction, or if there is no auction, you can just buy it. Just to enjoy, just to see, you know, maybe it will be more expensive in future, but I wouldn't recommend you to focus on this NFTs as an investment, because if you don't understand it, if you are not really into cryptosphere, and if you're not buying NFTs for thousands of dollars, I would definitely not recommend you to consider it as investment.
Excellent recommendations. How do you see the future of NFT segment in, let's say, 3 upcoming years?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, personal identity, I think that will be definitely happening. I'm not sure about, you know, CIS countries like Russia, Ukraine, Belarus will be implementing it. But I feel like Europe and UK, for example, the US, maybe they will be constantly working on this, because it will make a life of many people much easier. And, you know, there's, you know, even now, I guess, but maybe even in Ukraine, maybe I'm mistaken, but they're sort of creating some digital identity for a person. So it will be like in our phones. So it will be like the next step, because, you know, you can still, it will be not in blockchain. So what we need is to put all the info about a person in blockchain and create this non-fungible token for each person. I believe this is definitely the future for NFTs. We'll see in 3 years. Let's rewatch our video and see if it's true.
Excellent, Maria. Excellent. I love to talk to you. And finally, what is the best way to follow for you on the internet, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and so on and so forth? And what upcoming events are you planning, if you are planning to speak in London, Europe, maybe in CIS countries, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I'm speaking blockchain live in Moscow in October. That's for sure. Well, London is currently a little bit, you know, it's cut from other countries, and it's impossible to go to Dubai, for example, to London, because you have to quarantine in a hotel for 10 days after, because Dubai is a high risk, well, Emirates is a high risk country for the UK. So yeah, but Moscow, yeah, Moscow is definitely happening in October. And I'm also speaking at their at another conference, which name I don't remember, in September also. So about the social media, I use LinkedIn and I use Telegram, so it's easy to find me there, and all my contact details are there. So just Google it, Maria Stankevich and Exmo, and it will be there.
Great. Awesome. Thank you very much, Maria. It's been a fascinating and super educational talk. You know, I always love to talk to you.
Oh, I love talking to you. I miss our conferences together.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you were watching the NFT podcast. It is supported by the NFT protocol. If you are interested in NFT events online, if you don't want to move somewhere, please pay attention on the upcoming CGC third online edition, which starts in September 2024. Link is written down below. Please like, share, comment, subscribe on the channel, and don't forget to hit the bell button for not missing the future episodes. We try to publish daily in English and Russian. Maria Stankevich, the CBD of Exmo Cryptocurrency, and Eugene, aka Crypto MC, we're with you. Thank you for listening and watching, and see you in the next episodes of the NFT podcast. Bye bye.